Abortion was legalized by our Supreme Court. You want to shed blood. As I tell people, in this country and other countries, Americans are the most brainwashed people in the world. Sheep. If there was ever a justification for a civil war, dear God, it was when murder was made legal. By that time, as I think I've told you, 15 years, as 1958, I was informed by a specialist in constitutional law who was a member of about a dozen member commission that plans to change American laws. He predicted, I'm being taped. 15 years, I assure you, 15 years from now, the Supreme Court will legalize abortion. 15 years to the dot, 1973. All planned, and by that time, millions of Catholics have been thoroughly brainwashed. I'm quoting from "It Is a Fiction" by which the Pope, bishops, priests, and monks are called the spiritual estate, while the princes, lords, artisans, and peasants are the temporal estate. That's a quotation. I don't have it listed here, do I? Do I have the source identified? That is Martin Luther. Only civil laws have binding power on the citizens. And of course, and once the state makes a civil law, it's binding on us. That is why, and believe me, I'm not exaggerating one syllable, the only Catholics in America who will survive are heroic Catholics. All the others will be wiped out, become part of the casualty among the episcopate, the priesthood, the religious life, and the laity. In practice, the church depends on the state. I refer to John Dewey in the opening of the chapter I had you read on church and state relations. John Dewey was an evil genius. Many Americans don't even know how to spell maybe John Dewey's name. He is the great philosopher of American education. The Catholic publication in Rome called Civiltà Cattolica asked me, would I please write 3 articles on John Dewey, which I did and were published then in Italian, because, said the editors from Rome, John Dewey's ideas are penetrating the educational world in Europe. We know he's bad. Could you please analyze Dewey's philosophy so then we can tell our people to not accept or let's still promote John Dewey? And John Dewey's 50 volumes can be reduced to one sentence. Says Dewey, when we speak of separation of church and state in America, comma, we are wrong, semicolon, in the United States, there is subordination of church to state, period. Not know that is to be living in a dream world. The church in the United States is enslaved, controlled by the state. And when Americans run for public office, I know enough of them. They have one task, if they're elected. How do I remain a believing Catholic and remain, well, in politics? And most Americans, over the 200 years of our history, who were in politics, most of them gave up their faith. But they may have preserved for, well, political reasons, their title to being called Catholic. McKelvin's Geneva Conference forbade Christian baptismal names, and by now all kinds of Old Testament names now the Protestant nationalism in Northern Europe, national churches were established. Norway is a Protestant country, totally Protestant. Sweden, totally Protestant country. Denmark, Protestant country. England, Protestant nation. Scotland, Protestant nation. Wales, Protestant nation. In North America, the national church principle has remained. Thanks to the so-called dissenters in Europe, the Baptists, the Congregationalists, the Quakers, who demanded, remember, religious liberty. There was then established on paper separation of church and state. But in reality, the United States is an established national religious body, except that as Protestantism goes, so goes the American culture. And with most of American Protestantism having been secularized, we now have a secular state. This affects marriage, family, politics, education, economics, and social relations. As I think I've told you, for 5 years, I worked with the Association, American Association of colleges in education to introduce some semblance of moral values into public schools. Millions of dollars were spent. We had scores of meetings. The final meeting was at Columbia University in New York. 60 of us met from all over the nation. I represent then the American hierarchy. But one man got up and tore down everything. It was done for 5 years. It cannot be done because of American laws. And representing a national organization, immediately lawsuits would have started. The state, and remember it's a secular state that makes the laws. You dare not have any religious instruction in public schools, or for that matter, any prayer. Finally, legalizing abortion, divorce, homosexuality, and educational policy. In New York alone, Greater New York, over 100 Protestant churches closed down, shut down. Educated Protestants speak about the post-Protestant era. In other words, Protestants which still believed in a God and Christ and heaven and hell. Thank God there are still some Christian believing Protestants. In the meantime, the shape of our culture in America, beginning with Protestantism, which I repeat, excluded the church from having any authority. Now the state, which is becoming increasingly secular, and the American state is today the most secular, the most godless in all her now 2+ centuries of history. Once you put the right to make laws and bind people into the hands of the state and exclude the church, is it any wonder that we Catholics are fingering our beads and praying for miracles to convert our beloved country? And it is 3:43. Are there any questions? Can I get the box? Thank you. It seems appropriate that Halloween is celebrated on the anniversary of Luther's pasting or posting of his 95 theses. You're right. And this is one reason, by the way. Halloween now, as you know, is anything but the vigil of All Saints Day. Have you read Ralph Martin's book, The Church and the End of the Millennium? What is the Spirit saying? I received an autographed copy of Ralph Martin's book. I have not had a chance except to look at it. On November the 12th, is it? On this class. If somebody would be sure to remind me in the meantime to read Ralph Martin's book. I will report on the book. My husband believes that there is no more sin in the world than thousands of years ago. I have told him that even the best two popes have said we live in a sin-laden world. What could you tell me to convince them or convince your husband? Well, I can see why people doubt that we're living in a more sinful world than we used to before. And the reason is because so many people have lost even their idea of sin. You've still got to believe that there is such a thing as sin. Otherwise, you won't be talking about ours as a sinful world. Do you think Jesus minds that I feel a glow and warmth when Mary's name is mentioned? I don't always feel this way when Jesus' name is mentioned. Oh no, don't worry. Of course, Our Lady, being who she is, she can and she should inspire us. Well, shall I say, with a glow and a warmth. But remember, we love God not because we have a glow or a warmth when we hear say the name of Jesus or the name of Mary. No. It is that we do what Jesus wants. That's what should make us happy. And don't worry, the more glow and warmth you feel when Mary's name is mentioned, the better. Our Lord enjoys it. What constitutes a valid Mass? Recently, a newly ordained priest celebrated Mass without washing of hands or adding water to the wine. He did not elevate the host or elevate the chalice. Well, I'm sure it was the way he was taught. He's wrong. It's a sin for a priest to omit either washing his hands at Mass or adding water to the wine. It is also a sin for a priest not to elevate both the host and the chalice. However, the Mass was valid. There is only one condition, absolutely speaking, for a valid Mass. There are two conditions. The person must have been validly ordained a priest, number one. And secondly, the person was wont to do what God wants him to do. He may have lost his faith in his own priesthood. As long as he believes that these poor, stupid people in church, they still believe, poor dears, they still believe in the sacrifice of the Mass. All right, all right. In order to please them, I will perform the words of consecration. He no longer believes in the Mass. Is that Mass valid? It is. In other words, as long as there's the intention of doing what a priest is supposed to do. That mass is valid. Even the priest has lost not just his moral life, but even his faith. In the 1903 papal encyclical, Pascendi, on the nature of modernism, the Pope prescribes a detailed plan explicitly entrusted to bishops on rooting out this heresy that includes all other heresies. He blames pride and made the imprimatur under the censure of local councils to edit and bad material from Catholic books. Our reports being requested by our current Pope to assist in purifying erroneous Catholic publications. Please comment. Yes. And I am part of the Holy Father's program. I don't think I've ever said this publicly before. I'm not just a private individual. Honest. What I'm telling you is what the Holy Father wants to be taught. And if any of you have not yet subscribed to the Catholic magazine, Catholic Faith magazine, do so. That's why we've started this magazine. And we're forming an association to restore the faith in the minds of so many people who have lost their Catholic faith. I mean this. I'm here for the Sunday classes under obedience to the Holy Father. Do you hear me? I'm not exaggerating. What Pope Pius X said at the beginning of our century, the present Pope is repeating, except in the last 90 years since Pius X, the damage to millions of once-believing minds has been incalculable. Know what you're to believe, and then understand what you believe, which is why we're having these classes. And one of our plans, again, under obedience to Rome, is to organize similar programs in different dioceses. Question. Jesus did not fight back, but accepted the way of the cross. How do we know when to accept as God's will and when to fight back? Oh, thanks for the question. No, Christ did not go around armed. By the way, Muhammad never traveled without a sword. Do you hear me? Muhammad promoted Islam by the sword. But three answers to this question. First of all, what is the sword of Christianity? It is the cross. And Christ was crucified, hear it, because he fought for 3 years. Okay? And he used the most deadly weapon that you can use. Human words. Remember what he called the scribes and Pharisees? Imagine myself getting up on a Sunday morning at Mass. You hypocrites. You liars. You scoundrels. I don't think I'd go on for more than 5 minutes. Who says Christ did not fight? Okay? Am I still clear? But then he paid. He paid dearly for what he did. So first, our principal weapon is the sword. But Christ told us to profess him, remember? And the New English Bible, or the New American Bible, all kinds of strange translations. What is it? Who can finish the sentence? Christ speaking, I came not to bring peace, but the sword. The new translation has, but division. Pooh, you can have that word. I came to bring not peace, but the sword. And Christ's teachings are a sword. Oh, how they penetrate the human heart. And how those who don't believe in Christ, how they hate that weapon. Am I still making sense? And then, now, the word fight back depends on what people mean by words, fight back. We don't fight back in the sense of, well, shooting or stoning those, say, who are heretics. No. But we ought to respond, react. And what is the most powerful weapon against error? What's the most powerful weapon we've got to fight error? The truth. So if you want to translate in your vocabulary, fighting back with the truth. And believe me, some will love you for it, and some will hate you. Thanks for the question. May I suggest that you quote the New Testament regarding the Catholic Church's understanding of marriage, divorce, within Christ's new covenant? Well, it is, by the way, in the Holy Father's encyclical. It's right there. And I did not quote everything because this was a commentary. But let's save it for the next time. We'll quote the whole passage. I'll save it. How should a Catholic respond when a Protestant asks a question? Are you saved? Are you sure? Do you know you are going to heaven? Oh, that's easy. I trust I will go to heaven. I am firmly convinced on my faith that I will go to heaven. How can you be sure? For two reasons, but you better be able to verify those two reasons. First, I believe everything which God has revealed. I believe all of Christ's teaching. And secondly, before God, I am honestly trying to do His will. As long as you are honestly trying to do God's will, you can be as sure as anyone can be this side of eternity. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Know God's will and do it. Then you won't even lose sleep about when you will not get to heaven. 2 weeks ago, you spoke about praying over people. I got the impression you did not approve of this. Could you please explain? No. It's the phrase praying over people. As you know, this has become such a large part of what I guess we still call the charismatic movement. There are now healing services which you pray over people. Well, it all depends on whether a person who uses both the phrase and practices praying over people or being prayed over by somebody else, what they understand by praying over people. If by praying over people is meant, well, the charismatics, the Pentecostals, mean, I know he did not approve, I do not approve. I believe, and I'm using the word cautiously, I believe that is superstition. Father Harden, you may regret those words. I told you we are supposed to say what we believe is the truth. I believe it is superstition. And here I could talk for hours about faith healing. Ever tell you about the course on miracles, how to work miracles? Ever tell you about that course? There was a convert, a layman in New York, who had authored these books. And by now it's a national organization. And, well, I admit the tuition is a little high. It's a home study course. There are 3 textbooks on how to work miracles. A priest whom I knew in New York became very close to this professional miracle worker. And the priest was becoming more or less convinced there must be something there. So then, I first got a copy of the 3 books. The 3 of us met, the miracle worker, the priest, and I. So I told both the miracle worker and the priest. First, I told the miracle worker, now look, maybe you don't realize it, but what you're doing is simply copying everything that Mary Baker Eddie Baker, the founder of Christian Science, invented long ago. Did you get a copyright from the Christian scientists? He said, no. You better watch yourself legally, because this is pure Christian Science. Oh, I could talk for hours about Christian Science. Christian Science is a combination of psychology and what I firmly believe is demonic intrusion. Thanks for the question. Was Jesus born in a natural childbirth or in some marvelous kind of way? What was marvelous about Christ's birth was that his mother did not suffer any childbirth. How bad about that, you mothers? No pain. And even physically, so the church teaches, Mary did not lose her virginity. Am I making sense? When was celibacy instituted in the church, and why was it instituted? The hereditary caste excuse was recently given to me by a Catholic priest as a reason to now allow priests to be married because we no longer have a caste system. The poor priest. Let's at least make a sign of the cross for his enlightenment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Send him around. Have him call me up. Celibacy was instituted, hear it, celibacy was instituted with Jesus Christ. And the main reason for celibacy is because Jesus Christ, who is God become man, did not marry. Celibacy began, therefore, in the first century. All the apostles, this is the church's tradition, all the apostles, though they had been married before, became celibate after Christ's ascension, including Peter. But there are other reasons. As we implied before, the sacrifice of marriage is pleasing to God and provides what the church calls spiritual fruitfulness. Those who take a vow of celibacy, whether as priest or as religious, do not give up either motherhood or fatherhood. It was they, over the centuries, and this is the main reason why there's been such a breakdown of so many priests leaving the priesthood, empty seminaries, and empty novitiates. One word, chastity. Chastity. In a country like ours, which has gone mad with sex pleasure. And the more sex education we have from kindergarten on, the less vocations we'll get. People must have the faith to believe that by sacrificing marriage, God blesses those who make that sacrifice with extraordinary, extraordinary influence over souls. Over the centuries, most of the missionaries, most of the evangelization of the church over the centuries has been done by celibate people. Many reasons. One obvious one is that the responsibility of a father and mother, first responsibility is for all children. Also, How many times I've said this to people. I know of nothing in the moral order, nothing which more surely proves the power of grace than the ability with that grace to remain chaste for a lifetime and faithful to one's consecrated celibacy. If that's not the working of grace, then I don't even know how to spell the word grace. You need grace. I tell people, you better have it. Father Greshel told me Mary had blood sisters. Is this true? If Father Greshel said that, Father Greshel is wrong. If Father Greshel said that, he is wrong. Thanks for the question. Some questions are easier to answer. Yes or no. How should a Catholic respond when a Protestant asks, quote, why do you have all those ritualistic prayers? God looks at the heart. He is not impressed by us going through the motions, jumping through hoops. My dear friend, thanks for the question. I like these. Of course God reads our hearts. Of course we are to pray in our hearts. In fact, no matter how many loops you jump through, unless you're praying in your heart, you're not praying. All the signs of the cross, all the genuflections of a lifetime are useless unless you're praying in your heart. But, as I tell people, my friend, what are you? Are you a human being or an angel? What do you mean? Am I a human being or an angel? I'm a human being. Okay, you're a human being. You have legs. Sure, I've got legs. You have hands. Of course I have hands. You have a face. Sure. You have eyes. Yes. Where did you learn that as human beings, we are to pray to God only on the inside and not pray with our whole being? We are not angels. The angels don't have to go through any motions. They don't have to jump through any hoops. But we're not angels. We've got to pray as human beings with both our soul and our body. Father, can you share with us your views on Adoremus, a society for the renewal of the sacred liturgy? I'm sorry, I've heard the name, I'm not familiar with it. I will try to find more if I can save these unanswered questions. Newspapers report that there was going to be a Madonna and Child stamp this Christmas. So far, two postmasters have asked, knew nothing about them. Let's wait and see. It might help Bill and Hillary if they come out with this stamp. You have said that the greatest evil of abortion was the denial of baptism to a child, thus his or her assurance of heaven. Could it be said that contraception is a greater evil than abortion because it denies children any life at all and absolutely denies these children whose souls God desires to create any chance to go to heaven. Well, contraception is a sin. And as I've said more than once, in my years in doctoral studies in biochemistry, and I keep a record of the contraceptives of the market, there may be some, I don't know of a single medical contraceptive which is not also an abortifacient. If there is, I've never heard of it. In other words, either preventing insemination, or if there is insemination, then making sure that the fertilized ovum, which we know is already a human being, is destroyed. So I would say there is an added gravity to contraception. Although I would add this, remember, we commit sin with the intention we have in the mind. I don't want to think. I don't want to think that all the people who practice contraception also want to practice abortion. Am I clear? I hope not. Even though objectively contraception both prevents fertilization of the ovum and then would even destroy the fertilized ovum, which is a human being, subjectively, I repeat, the sin of contraception subjectively would be the sin of preventing conception. How should we understand?